Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Friday, August 31st, 2018. And this is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube.
And I'm Chanono Kawande.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about relations between China and African nations as President Emmerson Mnangagwa prepares for the 2018 Forum on China-Africa Cooperation.
To join our discussion, please phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 meter wave frequency and on the 4930-6080 and 15460 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
On the internet, you can get us on voazimbabwe.com, voashona.com, and voandebele.com.
If you've just joined us tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, we are talking about the Sino-Africa relations amid concerns over Chinese investment in Africa.
African leaders, including President Mnangagwa, are expected next week to strike multi-million dollar deals for infrastructure, business and development projects with China. To date, China has made more than $142 billion in loans to African countries, and this year's forum will deepen those financial ties.
Some of these deals have raised concern among several nations that are settled with crippling debts as China makes inroads in Africa through its infrastructure strategy called the Belt and Road Initiative. Some experts say the lack of transparency in these deals leads to corruption.
As a result, several nations have attempted to renegotiate the deals but ended up on the receiving end. According to the New York Times, after Sri Lanka ran into trouble with its loans, China renegotiated the terms in exchange of a port and 15,000 acres of surrounding land in the form of a 99-year lease on the property.
Zimbabwe has over the years signed several so-called mega deals with China. Some local people say they are not benefiting from the deals under the country's Look East policy.
Please note that we are live streaming this show right now on our Facebook pages, VOA Studio 7, VOA Shona, and VOA Ndebele.
Ibambe zulunga ndaba lingalithola njani lapho likhona khona ngapho ke mahlaba zulu. Lamhla ke sikhuluma ngobudlelwano phakathi kwelizwe leChina lelizwekazi leAfrica. So ke siyakwazi ukuthi iZimbabwe layo ke idlelana kakhulu lelizwe leChina ngakho lokho kuthiwa yi-Look East policy. Singazi ukuthi lokho khona kodwa sibona ngazani kuqhubekela phambili. So kulabanye sibila abathenga besithi ke ukudlelana neChina ungazani kubabisela emuva. Abanye sebezama ukuthi bakhulume ngamadili wona lana akalungiswa. But hayi, kukhanya ngazani akudlisi kangako. Kuze kubuye kancane sikhangela iChina isifaka imali eningi okumangalisayo kuzwekazi leAfrica. Ifika ku-142 billion. So kutshitile imali sibili eningi okumangalisayo. Baba Wande.
Nasi tuda kutasa pa ukama huwe China ni Afrika kutukura mba kuchende rambere zukuru sei munyaya ze development kana kutisrebudi riro China isipatra nyika zomu Afrika ne mari kana kuti nenyanji zoku waka sujinenge suda kuwakwa musangano uyuruku itu waku China President wa Zimbabwe Emmerson Mnangagwa vaningavari vamwe vye ma vatungamiri wenyika zomu Afrika varikumusangano uyu. Ii kusuka pari zvino China inonzi yakawana mari inoita $142 billion kumaloans kunyika dzoku Afrika. And musangano urikuitwa uyu uno ratidza kuti uchasimbaradza ukama hweAfrica neChina. Asi varipo zvedzimwe nyanzvi dzinoti vushamwari hweChina neAfrica hakuna kunyatsomira zvakanaka nokuti zvibvumirano zvavanotenderana nenyika dzokuAfrica hazvina kumira zvakanaka zvakarerekera kuChina zvichikonzera kuti dzimwe nyika dzomuAfrica dzipinde muzvikwereti zvadzisingakwanisi kuzobhadhara. Zvino vakapa zvemufananidzo wenyika yeSri Lanka, for example, inonzi yakatadza kubhadhara zvikwereti zvayo kuChina. China achibva yazotiwo aiwa tochironga panyowani, China ikati inoda port yoku Sri Lanka ne 15,000 acres dzeland iri padhuze neport iyoyo. Saka zvinhu zvinodhura chose. Saka ndasi toda kutarisa pamusoro pehukama hweChina neAfrica kuti hunobatsira here kana kuti hune maumba problems ahuno creatawo mushamwari hwawe.
So we're lucky because we've got an in-studio guest, and that is Lee Yang, who is working for the VOA Mandarin Service. She is a foreign correspondent of that kind of service. So we really welcome you to the studio, Liha.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Tell us a bit about the forthcoming summit.
Right. As we know, this forum on China and Africa cooperation is an official forum, right, between China and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, it's a forum intended to further deepen the ties between China and the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the first summit was held in 2006 in Beijing, and subsequently the second summit was held in Johannesburg, South Africa in 2015, and the upcoming one will be held from September the 3rd to 4th in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to this forum, then there's also a business forum between China and Africa, and I just saw official media report from Beijing saying that all the African states that have diplomatic relations with China will send business representatives. You know, these will be people from, you know, the non-governmental mm-hmm. organizations, think tanks, research institutes, and of course, business entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a major event. As we all know, China and Africa enjoys a long tradition of good relationship,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this is definitely an effort by Beijing to further deepen these ties, not only financial ties, but also political, because Beijing understands
mm-hmm.
Africa is also strategically important for Beijing.
And there's got this strategy called the Belt and Road Initiative. Tell us a bit about it.
Right, yes. It's often referred to as OBOR, which means One Belt, One Road. It's the Silk Road Economic Belt, right? That's the One Belt. And the One Road refers to the 21st century mm-hmm. maritime Silk Road. You know, we have this old traditional Silk Road, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was first articulated by the Chinese President Xi Jinping in 2013. It's a very ambitious effort to mm-hmm. improve regional cooperation and connectivity on a transcontinental scale. The initiative aims to strengthen infrastructure, trade, and investment links between China and some 70 other countries
mm-hmm.
that account collectively for over 30% of global GDP, about 62% of the world population, and 75% of known energy reserves. So this gives us a sense of the scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
It often... In the earlier days when this was launched, it was often compared to the United States Marshall Plan in Europe after the Second World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the difference between this BRI and the Marshall Plan is that the Marshall Plan is mostly an aid provided by the United States for the revival of Europe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The BRI is mostly loans provided by China. So there's one difference. The other thing is you can tell
mm-hmm.
the scale of BRI is even bigger than the Marshall Plan.
Mm-hmm.
So One Belt, One Road, and actually there are also six other economic corridors
mm-hmm.
that have been identified to link other countries to this Belt and Road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a land-based belt, right, that stretches from China's western periphery, then through central and western Asia
mm-hmm.
and on to Europe, right? Also, yeah, that's the land-based belt. Then the maritime road of shipping routes,
mm-hmm.
ports, pipelines, and other developments passes through the South and Southeast Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and before reaching Europe. So, it's the most visible feature of the BRI. It's expected to be a network of both physical and digital infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
servicing like transportation, energy transmission, communications, and other avenues of connection. So the connectivity is really the buzzword. You know, Beijing uses that a lot. It's
mm-hmm.
really
mm-hmm.
meant to connect people, right, from different countries, different cultures. So
mm-hmm.
it's a major, you know, overarching project.
How have other countries reacted to the Belt and Road Initiative?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, from Beijing's perspective, they believe that this is something that's going to be good both for China and the countries that are along the Belt and Road, right? At least that's its stated aim. Mm-hmm. But I think the reaction has been mixed, to say the least. Well, I think the World Bank and other international organizations have stated that they welcome this initiative because it provides very much needed funding for infrastructure, right? All these, you know, ports and railways, roads and all this, right? So because there's a lack of funds in this aspect. So definitely China is providing a good thing, right? By stepping in, by providing the initial fund. But then we also saw, as you mentioned in the opening, we've seen a lot of problems with some of these projects. For example, you mentioned the case in Sri Lanka, right? Mm-hmm. So recently, Malaysia also canceled several BRI-related projects because they simply cannot repay the loans. So in the Western media, we can see reports about this so-called debt trap diplomacy, because they think that this is not a benign economic cooperative initiative, right? Mm. China has other strategic goals, and they worry that by investing in these projects, especially by giving loans to these countries, that may not be able to repay these loans. So then China can leverage these loans for its own gains.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, as you might remember, you know, the former U.S. Secretary of State, Tillerson, mentioned that this is a predatory economics, that he strongly believed that China is engaging in this kind of predatory economic practices to gain strategic and geo-economic benefits out of this.
Thank you so much. Lapo kulinwa ke umama uliya wevyo Mandarin Service uyakhuluma ukuthi kuyini kono kuvele okuthiwa Belt and Road Initiative okwenziwa eChina. Uthi iChina lapho izama ukuthi idlelane lamazwe achiyeneyo ngendlela eziphezulu kakhulu. Okunye kwangikhona ukuthi kube lalokhu okuthiwa ukukhulumisana communication. Kuzobuya njalo lokuthi imigwaqo iyenzwa njani. Kodwa ikakhulu okwenziwayo yikuthi kube lamaloni amaningi kakhulu anikwa abantu be-Africa, amazwe e-Africa, ukuthi balungise khonokho abakulungisayo. Kodwa uyatsho ukuthi kukhanya kule nkinga xa ukuthi kuzokhangelwa khonokho amaloni zona lawa. Ngoba kwezinye indawo kungazani kuhambe kahle, kwezinye indawo kungazani kuyahamba, kodwa bakhona abaningi abakusolayo. So kuzobuya ukuthi ilizwe leMalaysia uyakhuluma ukuthi lagcina lingani liyakumisa khona kuyinto zamaloni. So ke kulala bantu abakusolayo kakhulu ukuthi iChina ngazani sinika amazwe lawa imali eningi kakhulu. I think we are joined by our second guest, and that is Mr. Joyce Ngwenya, who is an independent commentator. Can you
talk to Mr. Ngwenya, muripo ere? Hello, Mr. Ngwenya.
Hey, hello. I can hear you.
Yeah, makali niko.
Tinofara isu.
Yes, yes. Tinenya ya relationship ye China ne Africa, especially munya ze development ne nyaya za loans. Tiri kuona kuti dzimwe nyika dzoita sokunetseka pakuzobhadhara mari inenge ichidiwa neChina. Mungatiudzai mupfungwa dzenyu pausahwira ushamwari pakati peChina nenyika dzomuAfrica, munoona chii, munofungei?
Right, ukanyatsotarisisa, ikozvo ndakanyatsotarisa zvangu graph inonziyo kufambiswa kwemari kana investment kuenda kuAfrica neChina, nyika gumi. Unonyatsoongorora kuti ukaona kuti nyika dziri pamusoro pakudyidzana neChina, Egypt, Nigeria, Algeria neSouth Africa, ndo nyika muAfrica dzinonzi inyika dzakabudirira. Saka zvine musoro kuti titi isusu dzimwe dzenguva kudyidzana kwatinoite neChina zvine pfumbidzo mukati. Asi zvozoenda nokuti vanhu vacho vari kumiririra Zimbabwe kana kuti Africa zvakamira sei, nekuti kaona kuti $4 billion yakaitwa neChina vachivaka njanji inobva kuMombasa ichienda kuNairobi ya chinja ya pundutsa nyika yacho. Saka uziripo hazo asi hapana uzigidzano usina madisadvantage. Ndingangoti kwaiko zvino ndingangudo zvandingareva.
Munoona here kuti zvinofanira kuramba zvichienderera mberi, nekuti handiti mavona taura nenyaya yekuti dziripo dzimwe nyika dziri kutadza kubhadhara mari iyi, uyezve imi mataura nenyaya yekuti vanhu vanenge vachitambira mari dzacho idzodzo kana kuti maloni wavo panenge panewo mibvunzo inenge iripo kuti kuda pamwe havabati zvinhu zvakanaka. Saka munoona munochenderana nazvo here zvekuti China irambe ichipa mari kunyika dzemuAfrica idzo dzimwe dzichizotadza kubhadhara, zvingafambiswa sei?
Inini maonero angu ndekuti kupa mari hazvibatsire, nekuti kana uchipa mari kuhurumende isingagone kuchengetedza mari uringokudza chikwereti chevazukuru vedu. Inini kudyidzana kwandinonyatsonzwisisa ndeko ndeko iko kwandora kwekwenhekuko infrastructure ikoko kuti munowirirana kuti kana muchida kuvaka njanji chii chiri kushandiswa munyika yenyu chinoita kuti nyika yenyu ibudirire. Vanhu vashandi vemuzimbabwe simbi dzemuzimbabwe nezvakadaro zvese kuita kuti mari yakatingangoti value uremu hweinvestment yacho hofambirana nembatya dziri kushandiswa kuti zvikure. Izvongotora zveexim bank zvongotora $4 billion, ukatora $4 billion ukapa ZANU-PF vanotora $2 billion voisa muhomwe, ino inozosara voshandisa masocial services. Hapana zvatinenge taita, asi mari ngaibatanidzwe neinfrastructure kuitira kuti kana kudyidzana kwacho kwapera, kana yangu muchibhadhara chikwereti chenjanji iripo zviri nani, nekuti njanji yacho inenge ichishandisa kudini kutakura mbatya muchiexpota kana kuti muchishandisa mbatya dzacho munyika menyu.
Okay, muramba muripo vangwenya, tichadzoka kwamuri.
For her benefit, maybe to trans.
Yes, yeah. We were talking to one of our guests, and he seems to feel that initially, if you look at some of the countries that have benefited from China in Africa, the top three show a great big difference in terms of their economic life, their setup. So he feels that maybe it's okay to continue this relationship, although he's worried about the ability to repay the loans.
Right. That's exactly what other countries are also worried about as well, because a lot of these loans are unsustainable, right? So what happens when you cannot repay these loans, then we see quite a bit of pushback against the BRI projects.
You did mention the Marshall Plan, vis-a-vis the
BRI.
Yes. And you also said that this is much bigger than the Marshall Plan.
In terms of scale, because
yes. But now I think we can see why. The other was just giving. The other is lending.
Right.
So there is a bit of, you know, when you borrow, you tend to get reckless and you borrow more than you can pay back.
Right.
What, in your view, how best can this be adjusted so that we have a balance here to actually give the loans that produce some development that can benefit the country later on, or, the giving, like the Marshall Plan idea, was good just for a short term, but I don't think it prepared people to be able to take care of themselves later on.
Right.
So how can we strike a balance there?
I'm sure that's something that Beijing is very keen in terms of, you know, how to make this work, right? Mm-hmm. Because right now we see a lot of criticism, pushbacks against this. I personally believe that I think it's Beijing's intention to really to create a win-win situation, right? One, to benefit China. Mm-hmm. We heard talks about solving China's overcapacity problem as a result of this massive stimulus package after the 2008 financial crisis. So this is a way of exporting China's excessive capacity, right? But I don't think it's in Beijing's interest just to use this for it, just for its own gain. I do believe they really wanted to help both China and the other countries along the Belt and Road. As China's President Xi Jinping, actually the other day, celebrating the fifth anniversary of this initiative, said, he said, you know, this the Belt and Road Initiative is an economic cooperation initiative, not a geopolitical or military alliance. He said it's an open and inclusive process and not about creating exclusive circles or a China club. So he also mentioned, I think it's interesting in his remark at the people in Beijing, I think he indicates a maybe a change in its strategy about how to implement this BRI initiative, because he said, you know, Beijing now needed to fine-tune the details and build a comprehensive system to carry it out. So I think this is a recognition that there are some problems in the implementation of this plan. We also hear a lot of criticisms about these projects, not hiring, not creating jobs for the local people.
Human rights violations.
Human rights issues, the environmental issues, right? That's also another one. There's also a lack of transparency because traditionally China doesn't really have a very good standard of these governance issues and transparency and environmental standards and labor standards, right? So this, I don't think this problem is unique to the BRI projects. It's just unique to China's ways of operating overseas.
If you were to give Mr. Mnangagwa a tip, so you are going to this summit, here is what you can do to get something good out of it.
Yeah.
What do you say to him?
I don't think I'm in the position to give an advice, but what I hear from experts are, you know, you need to, so for these countries, right, who are interested in participating in this project, you really need to know, you really, before you enter into any contract, you really need to be very careful about what kind of, you know, terms you are entering, right? So they say you want to know for sure this project is really what you needed, really, for the economic development. It's good for the job creation and for the economic development. So I think if they really do your due diligence, do the study, right, feasibility studies, I'm sure you would know. You wouldn't enter into any kind of a contract that sounds good on the surface but may not really bring actual benefits to your own country. So I think that's something they can, you know, have in mind.
Yes, and you're supposed to be here for 5 minutes. Now it's about 10-20 minutes. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Yes. Thank you, having me.
Thank you so much. So, okay, sibuyele kubaba ke uRejoice Ngwenya, okhona khona phecweni. So, baba Ngwenya, siyabona ukuthi udaba lolu luyahlupha kakhulu, ule China le Africa. So, manje kumele kubanje njani? Umnanga kumele enzeni? Kuna ngani?
Right. Uncle uthi ukuthi singasebenzisa amangilazi ukuthi kuyahlupha. Into ekhona ukuthi njengomama esitsho ukuthi nxa vele umumo wombuso elizweni ungamanga kuhle, uyahlupha. Lobo ungazinika isikweleti ingilosi le esezulwini esokuthi isikweleti sokuthi ingilosi ithi ngiyakunika i-$4 billion. Nxa ungehlile kuyisebenzisa ndakunika enye i-$4 billion. Nxa usekhululeka umbuso wakhona ungamanga kuhle, kuyabe kungalunganga. Kodwa-ke asithi so, thina vele sile ama-clarity kulezinto ezisihluphayo lapha elizweni. Injani nje ethu kayimanga ukuhle, imigwaqo yethu ubhayibhrije ukufika ethiruni kayimanga ukuhle, amagate athona ehamba. So mina nxa yini sibe ngiyisele into egelana yebe ngithithi asikhangelisise indawo esifuna ukuthi sisebenzele ama-Chinese ukuthi loba bengekho sisala intuthuko yethu ikhangeleka. Siyabe sikwazi ukuthi nathi silungise injanji yethu, sesilungise umgwaqo wethu, lamagethi sesilawo. Loba isikole sakhona sikhona asisihluphi ngoba sesigenereta i-income thina internally. Singakhangeli lokho okuthiwa ngama-extractive industry, i-mining kumbe ama-raw materials, uphela ukuthengisa igwayi kuphela. Hhayi, lokho akuthi akusingethisi lokhu lokho. Sifuna thina ukungenisa imali, imithambo, i-infrastructure esiyazi ukuthi loba ama-Chinese sengekho seselele esikweleti, imali yakhona siyakwona siyigenerate sibhadale isikweleti sethu.
Ngicela ukufaka ngesikhiwa nje briefly 1 minute khonokho ba.
In a minute, what I'm saying is that I don't want to to be advising this government to be focusing on deals that, you know, emphasize the extractive sector of mining and tobacco or, you know, commodities. I want to focus on infrastructure development. So that even if we are saddled with a debt, we are saddled with a debt we can pay back because we're exploiting infrastructure, residual infrastructure that has remained even if the Chinese have long gone.
Mm-hmm. So now we've got Marco Davis who writes on Facebook, if China Dube has to come to Africa or Zimbabwe, then they can come with our terms and conditions. So he's saying literally they have to follow what the African nations want, instead of China detecting the pace.
I think that will offer a problem as well, because, you know, like the old saying that beggars cannot be choosers. If we want something done, they can say, we can give you this, but you have to do this.
They'll say they're not begging.
They have their minimum requirements as well. So, the African countries are caught in a bind.
So now we've got Polite Kwakuba Maposa, who says, Njane Kaya, Siapina Foetu. Until later, let Chabango say is Linjani, is a Manchester Conahal. Yes, I was a cool Kumblan Nobe, now to call one of our foit. Who's a well hand to Mlocha, and Lomelty Colite, a chuma. We are speaking a little cool lapper to Tichawana Makaza. Then Unkany Songwenya, Utim. Chinese want to invest, must employ local people. That's a very sticking point there, Mr. Ngwenya. So the employment of local people.
Mr. Ngwenya, inyaya gara iri ichinetsa kwemakore akawanda chose kuti kana makampani anobva kuChina achiuya kuAfrica vanouya neequipment yavo, vanouya navashandi vavo kuti tizoona kuti batsiro yacho chaiyo iri papi. Ivo vasingagoni kuzopa vanhu vemunyika mavanenge vaenda imomo mabasa nokuti vanouya nevanhu vavo pachapa. Zvinhu zvakanaka here izvizvi? Zvingangoramba zvichingoitika nguva dzese dzese? Munozviona sei izvozvo?
Ndo zvatatireka kuti kana uchisaina chibvumirano, ita chibvumirano chine pundutso, nekuti haungati uchipuwa mari nebhengi, bhengi rouya nevanhu varo hatibatsire. Iwewe kana uchipinda muchibvumirano neChina, uona kuti chibvumirano chacho chinosiya zvinhu zviviri. Technology transfer, kuti michina yacho inoshandiswa inenge ichizosana muZimbabwe, kana kuti expertise, vanhu vacho vanouya pane unyanzvi here vavachasiya muZimbabwe. Ukangosaina zviya zvokuti nyange vanhu vanotera marinda vanobva kuChina, vanobika sadza vanobva kuChina, hapana zvaunenge waita, unenge watadza kuita chibvumirano. Ndosaatiti enda nevanhu vanoziva, hakuna kunga nemapoliticians yetu kunotipinda muchikwereti.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mr. Ngwenya. So let's take our next guest, and that is Dr. Sibusiso Moyo. He's an economist and is in North Carolina, here in USA. Dr. Moyo, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you so much. By the way, this side is afternoon. So tell us, what do you think about China-Africa relations?
What do I think about China-African relations?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's a very loaded statement.
Yes.
that's a very loaded statement. But I was listening earlier. I was listening earlier to the lady who was, who was giving us a sort of a preamble as to what the, that Beijing summit is all about. See, on paper, when you look at the relationship that China is trying to do in Africa, everything looks wonderful. I mean, they're trying to promote trade and security and investment relations and all these things, but it's not the type of direct investment that Africa is used to. It's not like the same FDI that, say, American or the OECD or, you know, European countries are basically used to doing in Africa. The Chinese seem to be coming to Africa more with it's sort of like targeted debt relief, but a lot of it is basically cheap loans. You know, it's loans, it's not aid. So that's basically they're going in there more to cultivate something that is a beneficial relationship for them, and yet at the same time they're still trying to benefit Africa. So it's a little bit tricky to to analyze, but basically it's not the same type of relationship that we used to seeing from the Americans or from the British.
Mm-hmm.
But so we kind of need to be very careful when we're looking at it. It's not a clear cut in what we are used to.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. Wende, you have a question for him?
It does make a lot of sense. When I look at this, my major concern is an issue that I brought up earlier about African countries that fail to pay back the loans that the Chinese give them. We had earlier on the example of Sri Lanka, which renegotiated the loans, and the Chinese ended up asking for a piece of the land for 99 years, in addition to 15,000 hectares of land surrounding that port. Now, when you look at this, when you see this kind of thing, this kind of transaction, what do you think, what do you say, what would you say to the leaders of Africa when confronted with this kind of situation?
Is that question directed at me?
Yes, Dr. Moyo.
Okay. So, it is my opinion that when Africa, when China goes to Africa, they know that the African governments tend not to have very strong institutions. So that's one big weakness about Africa. So when you see a relationship between Zimbabwe and China, when China is going to Zimbabwe, it knows that it's going basically to deal with individuals. There are no institutions that are going to sit down and vet a deal to see whether is that deal good for the country or is it good for people who are just sitting at the top right now running the country. So from that standpoint, China is in a strong hand because it can get all the deals to its advantage. And basically, we've seen that happen in other African countries. And I'll tell you, there's one thing that China likes to do or say in Africa, that they don't want to basically interfere with what's happening politically within the country. And one of the reasons why they do that, it basically supports the few people at the top that are benefiting and at the same time offering the deal to China. So basically, at the end of the day, it's never good for the country or for the African country. It benefits the Chinese to the detriment of the poor, citizens of the African country. So long term, we as Africans are likely to lose because we don't have the strong institutions at home that are supposed to be vetting these deals. Because if I was running an African country and there are no checks and balances around me, what is to stop me from just abusing my power and giving away national treasures because there's nobody who's saying to me, hey, this is to be vetted by this council, etc. And I think that's our biggest challenge in Africa.
Thank you, Dr. Moyo. Please stand by. We'll come back to you in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Tangwenya, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Yes, you have heard some remarks, the latest of which is from Dr. Moyo.
Mm.
He seems to agree with you in some of the things that you had said earlier. Now, what do we do as Africa? What do we do? You go to the World Bank. Zimbabwe is still struggling to pay back money.
Absolutely.
Borrowed from the World Bank. And now, without paying that money to the World Bank, Zimbabwe is running around to borrow money from the Chinese. What do you see when you look at this kind of behavior?
Well, look, I mean, although I don't quite agree with Doc when he says that, he says that Africa is not used to the type of, a relationship with China. I don't know, Europe and the West is not used to the relationship with Africa, that Africa is with China. I don't think when we enter into business deals with China, we are using a template, a Western template, because that template has failed. Tanunka, that is the template that has resulted in our soured relationship with the World Bank and with IMF, because it is aid-based, it's not development-based. But the Chinese are coming to say, look, we know you need a bridge, right? Okay, the terms and conditions might be really, like, not quite good, but our relationship with China is need-based. It's not driven by the desire to fulfill, you know, our appetite for cash. So it is okay. We need to be careful. He's right. We need to be careful that when we're entering into a relationship with China, we enter into a relationship that is of mutual benefit. But because we are negotiating from a position of weakness, as he says, we don't have institutions, but we have individuals that the government can rely on. Earlier on, I talked about people like Mthuli Mube, you know, the Godfrey Kanyenje, the type of characters who can sit and listen to these negotiators and guys. We don't want to base our interests purely on simply national interest. It also must be specific to particular sectors. But it's a fact of life, gentlemen, that sometimes when you borrow money, you can't pay it back. And when you can't pay it back, the collateral has to be called in.
Mm. Thank you, Mr. Ngwenya. Please stay on the line. We are going to be coming back to you. We have a caller, Munyaradzi. Urukutinzwa were, Munyaradzi?
Yeah, and
Eh, makadi ni zvenyu tibatsirei one nyaya iyi munofungei nezviri kutaura pano izvi.
Inini ndinofishikana zvikuru pane neChina. Bose, ndikurangarira semugore pakamboya pane imwe kambani pandakamboshanda paZisco paFenix Startup. Vaishungurudza vashandi zvisingaiti vanhu veChina. Asi ndikushamisika kuti sei government isikazvigadzirisi, uyezve sei vanhu vemuAfrica vasikazvigadzirisi, uyezve ndikuona vaenda kuzvekare.
Saka munoti munoti zvoitwa sei? Nekuti panapa Munyaradzi vakati asavapi ati takachitaura panapa manje tichiti kana iri seZimbabwe yakakureta mari dzakawanda kuna mamwe mabhangi kuno kuAmerica dzavari kurwa nekubhadhara futi izvozvo dzavari kutadza kubhadhara asi voenda zvekunokwereta imwe mari kuChina. Saka imi munoda kuti zvifambiswe sei apa?
Zvitakiti dai vangu kana vaisekuti vakazama kuti vadhesere mari dzodzo kune dzimwe nyika zvitori nani vozama kusangana mumamaket manyowani zviri nani panoti varambe vachingodzokera kuChina ikoko kusingodzokera kuChina ikoko uyezve benefit yacho yatisinyanya kuiona zvichibva kuChina kuti makore awanda tichingonzwa nyaya dzeChina but tione zvinenge zvichifamba munyika medu hatisizviona.
Aiwa, tinotenda chaizvo. Munyaradzi here is concerned about you know, the Chinese. His first point is that their decorum, their employment, the way they work with people wherever they are is not very, very good. But he's also wondering why the government of Zimbabwe does not learn from its past experiences and make some suitable changes to improve itself. But his last point is that Zimbabwe must pay back the money and go and look for newer markets where they can have a bit of leverage in negotiating for any assistance they need.
And then on Facebook, we've got Mandla Ngobe Smidlo, who says, I'm watching you from South Africa. And then Stephen Mnali Dlala is saying, China are the new colonizers. We are totally colonized. Then MP Murambiwa is having some issues with Dr. Sibusiso Moyo. He thinks that he's the foreign affairs minister. So we have to put it very clearly Dr. Sibusiso Moyo is an independent economist and is based here in North Carolina in USA. So Sibusiso Baba rejoice ngwenya. Now sukangele sibuya pambili ele Zimbabwe. Litola nivele kumatili wanalawa. Njalo kwino kufihliwe yomatili wanalawa. Ongazwa ngabantu. Baba ngwenya.
Isisekelo sombuso sasi siyachasisa kuhle ukuthi nxa kule bhili esayinwayo iparlamente kayiyo yiyo ekhangelisisa icubungulo ukuthi kanti ungazinanzelele kathesi mina vele ayikuthi angifuni ukukhuluma amabizo amadili amaningi asayinwa lani I say you about the China, about the ZANU-PF. That is the group in the ZANU-PF. It's in the square. So, I mean, I'm going to say that I'm going to say that this is a parliament. What is ZANU-PF? You say, okay. That's what you got. I'm an institution. I can't get this. So, that would benefit. And what about Tina to sort of Zimbabwe? No, Mama, I don't want to come with plan. Zimbabwe, I saw the pumping, and I'm like, Marshall plan, Chinese plan. Siyayifuna imali yakhona sifuna investment kodwa kakukhangelisise ukuthi idili linyele ngaliye inethani inzuzobani nxali lingamanga kuhle lifakwe eceleni kodwa thina kasibe kwazi ukuthi sifunani singakaye eChina kulokuyatshelwa ngumachinese ukuthi nina lifuna umgwaqo thina sifuna injani kakuqonde kube sobala ukuthi singasingathingeni endegeni siye eChina sifunani kumachina uweze nihlatshele ukuthi sikufunani ngabe ngakukwani thi hayi singasayini idili yakho.
So, okay, just briefly, Nengi, so what is it in those kind of deals, the mega
basically,
deals?
There is nothing hidden in those deals. The ZANU-PF government was very adept and very clever in signing deals that were benefiting a few individuals. Because, like somebody said, there are not enough institutions. But our constitution is very clear. There is no deal that can be entered by a country without parliamentary oversight. So the new order of things means that when we go to China, let's go to China with our priorities very, very clear and the expertise that is capable of assessing and measuring the metrics and the value addition to the people of Zimbabwe. If the deal is not good for Zimbabwe, don't take it. If it does not add value to infrastructure, don't take it. So that we are sure that we have experts sitting in that room and defining our priorities and laying out the plans. Unfortunately, we are beggars. We can't choose more, but there's an opportunity for us to have a mutually beneficial relationship with China.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Maybe to
talk us through. Vangwenya, zvamatara pokupesera papa ndozvadaida kubvunza kuti nyika zhinji hadzina choice, hadzigoni kuti dzisarudze, nokuti chero kwavatarisa hakuna kumira zvakanaka. Saka vanomanikidzwa necircumstances. They are forced by circumstances to accept some of these deals. How can an African, nyika yom Africa inga ita sei kuti isapinde parumano pakadari hapa?
China inoda kunge ichiva the new global economic power. Inoziva kuti muAfrica muna ma resources, muna ma natural resources. Pane zvainoita China engine room yakupisa haichakwanisi kuabsorba zvinoitwa Japan. Saka vanoti isusu neChina tinohushamarirwa unodana, we have a mutual relationship. Saka ngatiende ikoko tichitoziva kuti pane zvainoda kwatiri. Chiripo nitu ngati zivu chini chainuda kwa tini. Nutike na singa zii, wano titota. Chaka u relationship yedu, odo tiri wabana, but tiyo zira chete kutipane za wano da kwa tiri. Zawa sina, and ubo tu zira chwa wano kwa mgebari new global power. Chaka ngati nge chizi zira za sinuda.
Yeah, let's go straight to Dr. Sibusiso Moyo, an economist. So, Dr. Moyo, you are hearing what Mr. Ngwenya is saying about these Chinese deals, and what do you think is hidden in these deals? Why is Zimbabwe not really clear about what is being signed?
Well, I think the reason why there is no clarity is because, in my opinion, these deals are not in the nation's interest. I mean, there's no other reason. If the people who are championing these deals knew that if they put it in front of the people and say it, let's say the headlines were splashed all over the Chronicle and the Herald that, oh, this mega deal is coming and it's going to do this to Zisco or to NRZ. I mean, people, there'll be excitement within the country because people want those, parastatals to come back to life. But the reason why we're not hearing anything about them is because they're not in the nation's interest. So basically what Zimbabwe basically needs to do is that this country, Zimbabwe is in a very difficult situation because it sort of needs to go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who are running our country basically need to make sure that the economy works for people. I know that might sound a little bit theoretical, but we sort of need to go back to the drawing board and say, we as a people, what can we do for ourselves? let the government do the role of the government within an economy, which is that it has to make sure that the rules are applied fairly, there is stability, and there's just clarity. The government needs to come in and clarify what, you know, its role is in the economy. I remember, like, earlier, it was in April of this year, Mnangagwa went to China, and I think he was being interviewed on CCTV, and he was saying things like that, you know, we know what the road is to follow, you know, like, we know what goals in Zimbabwe we want to reach, but these guys at the same time, they seem to be failing to articulate or failing to understand exactly what it takes to run an economy. And in my opinion, running an economy is not that complicated. It only gets complicated when people start want to gain as individuals from it. It's very simple. You lay out the goals, you make sure you have a very impartial judiciary. You know, a good example, we just had elections. A government that wants confidence from the rest of the world would have made the rules of the game clear way before the elections. We know when the election is coming. We know when the results are going to be announced. But in Zimbabwe, there is no clarity on all sorts of things like that. And it makes people who are looking from outside to say to themselves, are these guys really serious? Right now, we're looking at the appointment of a cabinet that's coming in. So you'll see the next few days, most likely the same guys that have been in there for the past 30 years are going to be running the new government. So I mean, how can you then go out and say, we know the road we need to follow and we know the goals we want to reach, and yet at the same time, you're still taking the old practices and you bring them back? So that's the biggest challenge in Zimbabwe.
Yes, and what Charles Masasa writes, I've never seen or heard of any Chinese person who, after investing or working in a certain country, then banks the money at that particular country. So I think that's a comment from Charles there. Let alone Ndlovu says, ZANU-PF thinks in a very retrogressive manner, so they always do things for themselves. Then we've got Tim Klamangane who says, I'm in Newcastle, and I'm just watching you guys from there. So maybe we can go back to Ubaba Ngwenya. Ubaba Ngwenya, ngasuka ngele sibili, abantu bangathi hlolisisani kono kokuphakathi kwamadili wona lawa kuqalisa ngapi kusiya ngapi kwamele abantu bakuhloze njani kono.
Yeah, phela amadili akhona ayakhulunywa phela ukuthi sesayini idili disco still sesayini idili yomgwaqo kusiyane lokho yona iparliament njengoyike khona iparliament le-civil society abafake uhulumende phansi lathi khona ye amadili ayasayiniwe sifuna ukuba kwazi ukuthi ngoba phela atho kubhaliwe eseyileni sombuso ikuthi lathi siyehluleka ukuthi si-enforce ama-rights ethu sifanele sifake isihlalo sohulumende phansi simbuze ukuthi njengoba sisayina amadili la asayiniwayo yiwaphi kungeneni elizweni kodwa siyabayekela nje behamba bephonge becakala nje besithi bayisayine. So thina njengezizalwa njezibawo thinethi esithi thina sahambe esikolo kasiyenza umsindo sithi hathi sitshengisa nini amadili lawasayinayo sibona ukuthi inzizo yakhona kuyini.
Yes, cala ufana ngasikhiwa Baba Ngwenya.
Yes, you know, the issue is bringing the government to account. We have gone past the stage where we are just ululating and praising about the deals that are being signed. Civil society, intellectuals, you know, community groups should bring the government down, make the government sit down and force them to reevaluate the deals that have been signed. Because if we don't do that, nobody's going to do that for us. So we have got expertise, we have civil society, we have academics. That is their responsibility to call the government to account because they are given power by the constitution through their parliamentary representatives.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ngwenya. I think we're joined by our next guest, and that is Professor Elliot Masocha. He's at the DeVry University in Ohio, here in USA. Professor Masocha, how are you? Are you on the line, Professor Masocha?
Yes, sir.
Now, sir, tell us a bit about what you think about these Chinese deals. We have read a lot about Zimbabwe signing these mega deals, and, you know, they look very big, you know.
And Zimbabwe keeps on going there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think there is cause for concern, Professor Masocha?
You know, for me, not at this time to be alarmed by, you know, such deals and, you know, especially our president going there to meet other presidents, you know, of the African, from the African continent, who have been invited for, you know, such a big meeting that happens. It's once every 3 years. So the Chinese have done a lot in Zimbabwe. We may not see it or it may not be reported, but you look at the Victoria Falls Airport, you know, they have managed to redevelop the Batoka Gorge, Electric Gorge. I don't know what they're doing there, that they're working there. So I don't think there's any reason to get really concerned as if, you know, Zimbabwe is going to leave money in China. You know, it's just going to cement relationships and also maybe exchange notes and see what the future holds for both countries.
Some people might argue, Professor Masocha, some people might argue that it's okay to borrow as long as you can pay back. Earlier on when the program started, we talked about the example of Sri Lanka. Don't you see that? Is there a possibility that this kind of thing is going to befall more and more African countries where they are forced to give up part of their lands for 99 years in payment or in an attempt to soothe the borrowed monies?
Yeah, it may get to that point, but, you know, the way I see it is that African governments are so much desperate to revive their economies. Mm-hmm. So anybody who comes with a deal that may look too good to be true, they fall for it. And it's, you know, us citizens of Africa, we are pushing our government to do something for us. You look at Zimbabwe, it has about 80% unemployment rate, and the president has to do something. And we have been all calling for the president to do something. So that's the desperation we have. The desperation I think we have to try and see where it can get. But I don't think we can get to a point where we'll be, you know, forced or asked it to give up part of our land, because these presidents are surrounded by people who are very smart and educated, who advise them on you know, what to sign and then why they should sign there. So I don't think it can get to that, because these deals haven't started today. You know, for other countries that got independence way before 1980, you know, Zimbabwe is there in 1980, they have been going through these deals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something new that we should be alarmed. It's something that we should encourage our leaders to see and study the deals before they sign.
Now, President Emmerson Mnangagwa is going to China for the summit, the Africa-China summit. So now, at the end of the day, he's going to come with some more mega deals. Now, do you think that there's something that is really hidden about some of these deals? Who is benefiting? Is it China? Is it Zimbabwe? Is it the people of Zimbabwe? Who is benefiting, really?
Well, I think both sides are benefiting. Definitely the Chinese who are lending money, they are definitely benefiting, because it's not, you know, free money. You know, if they have excess money to invest by lending countries like Zimbabwe. Mm. And in business, we say that if you have money and you are not making more money, then you are not making any sense. So I think the Chinese are making money, you know, from the money they are lending to African governments. And in exchange of that, I also believe that African countries like Zimbabwe, they are also benefiting by employment creation. Because those projects that are being carried out by the Chinese in Zimbabwe and African countries, they help to create employment.
Baba Ngwenya, we have a like on Baba Ngwenya, do you agree with him? We have a man like employment in Kenya, civilly. Here's our Chinese. Come back on next.
Yeah, I mean, we are working with each sector. What I don't expect as you can in the sector. Employment economy, Ecopella Lavana, the character is in Mama China, as Mizin Seventh, by a Sulusa. Got a woman and a city, Ama Protitakona, Azra, and yes, Avantum Seventh.
Yeah, in Kerupa, the skill was that was a 7 to 10.
Right, basically, I do agree that if you look at the bigger picture, the Chinese investment that we have in Zimbabwe do actually provide employment. Of course, we people might not be happy with the wages, the level of the wages, with the, you know, the rights aspect. But definitely, you know, if you encounter a Chinese project right now, you are going to see relatively, you know, interesting you know, figures of employment.
Mm-hmm. Maybe let's go to Dr. Asfuso Moyo.
Dr. Moyo, are you Are you comfortable with the trend of the Chinese coming into Africa vis-a-vis the Western countries? What can you pick the good, the bad from either side?
The good and the bad from either side. I think I wanted to respond to a gentleman earlier who, I think it was Mr. Ngwenya, who said something like that in Zimbabwe we need, MPs and academics need to be more proactive and vet these deals. I think if we need to be honest with ourselves, Zimbabwe is a dictatorship and there is no other way to see it. I mean, when people rise in Zimbabwe, what happens? You know, we just saw it, within the election that just passed, when people were protesting about the results, what happened? There was loss of life. The one thing that this government is afraid of is people rising. That's the only thing they're afraid of. They're not afraid of the court system. They're not afraid of any other institutions of government because they control that. What they don't control are the voices of people on the street. And when the people rise, people get slaughtered. So to say that we need involvement from, you know, all the other players basically are powerless. Academics basically kiss up to the government because it's the government that feeds them. So that's why I was saying that I think a country is sort of in a very difficult situation. It's almost like a lost cause. So given that, coming back to your question, I would say, my opinion, what the Chinese are doing is that they see a country that's desperate, you know, and they see an opportunity. I mean, if I was in the Chinese position, I'll be doing the same. There's an opportunity there for them to go in and control resources. Zimbabwe has a lot of mining resources, a lot of agricultural resources. So if you go in there as China, you are most likely to come out on the positive side of things. I mean, we as Zimbabweans have benefited a lot from aid from the West. But we, you know, because the West, the reason why we're not in good terms with the West right now is because the West tend to want to come in and start detecting certain things, and they'll tell you, okay, what are you doing with your human rights? You know, enforce the rule of law, things like that. The Chinese don't care about that. The Chinese are just saying, okay, we're not going to look at your internal politics. We just want to give you, you know, let's do our deal on the side. We don't have to even tell people anything. So I think to us as a country moving forward, it's just going to be difficult, but we need to go back to fundamentals. If I was running the Zimbabwean government right now, I think the first thing to do is, why don't we fix our current currency issue? I mean, we're trading in U.S. dollars. The U.S. dollars is making everything very expensive in Zimbabwe. We shouldn't be using U.S. dollars. I mean, we can go back to a much stabler Zimbabwean currency as long as the people who are running our country put the country first. Mm. But that's not what's happening right now.
It's very easy
to bring back the Zimbabwean dollar. And if you really want to do it right, and it can be stable, but the people who are doing it don't want to do it. So we're in trouble for that reason.
Thank you so much. Your last word, Professor Masocha. 10 seconds, your last word.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to respond to the previous speaker who say, well, we have to introduce the Zimbabwean dollar before we even look, you know, to other countries. So we still need help from those countries to introduce the Zimbabwean dollar, because we are just not going to wake up and say, here's the Zimbabwean dollar, then we are going to cry again as we used to in 2008, 2007, when the U.S. dollar came to be worthless. So we still need help from countries like China. And countries like China, it's not their first time to be in Africa. The Chinese have always been with Zimbabwe ever since the liberation struggle.
So these have been our friends forever. Thank you
so much,
Professor. The time is up. Sorry, we have to end here. We thank our guest this evening, Li Ha, a correspondent for the VOA Mandarin Service, Mr. Joyce Ngwenya, an independent economic commentator, Dr. Sibusiso Moyo, an independent economist based in North Carolina, that is here in USA, and Professor Elliot Masocha at DeVry University in Ohio. Thank you so much, all of you, for having joined us tonight. Signing off is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C. Let's meet again on Monday. Bye-bye.
And I'm Chanona Kawande. Until we get together again on another important topic of your interest, Please stay well and come back and join us again. Good night.